Hi, this is Jalen for Dobbs, where tire buying is easy. At GoToDobbs.com, shop brands, sizes, pricing, and our amazing deals. With 40-plus locations, get same-day install. For tires, it's Dobbs.
For deals you can use, click on GoToDobbs.com now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
101 ESPN. This is the Fast Lane. Now, here's former guard Matt Holliday.
Holliday, about your left side, and the puck goes way in at the bottom of the ninth.
As the guys get ready to dive deep into the cards.
Holliday, out to deep right. Yes!
Brought to you by Milliken Hand Rehabilitation Center. Regain your grip after injury. Expert hand and upper extremity therapy at two convenient locations.
It's a Fast Lane on 101 ESPN with Brad Thompson and Anthony Stalter. We are live at the Budweiser Brewhouse right outside Busch Stadium. And as we do each and every week, it's our pleasure to be joined by former Cardinals slugger Matt Holliday, who joins us via the Brown and Crouppen celebrity line. What's up, Matt?
Hey, fellas. What's going on?
Not a ton, man. We are sitting here outside of Busch Stadium getting excited to watch Nolan Arenado play against his former team. And we figured, what better guy to talk about the feelings that he might have in a game like this than you, who played a long time for the Rockies and then eventually played against them. Matt, what do you remember about the first time you played against your old team?
Well, actually, so, you know, as people may not remember, but I got traded to the A's first, and the Rockies came to Oakland in an interleague game the year that I played there. So I played against the Rockies the first time as a member of the Oakland A's after getting traded. And so it was kind of strange to see your old team, I guess, across the way, and kind of it's that awkward feeling where you want to catch up with the guys but you don't want to deal with the new teammates telling you to cut the cord. And so it's that awkward balance of catching up with your boys and, you know, the guys you miss and a lot of those guys that I grew up with in the minor leagues and catching up. And then also at the same time, you know, not having your current teammates think, God, I think he wishes he was still on that team. So it's a balance. It's trying to find that right balance, but it is kind of strange, especially when you face pitchers that are previously, you know, you're friends with and knew well. So it's a little bit of an awkward situation. I think it's probably even be more awkward interesting when Nolan goes back to Colorado, because you don't know. I remember going back to Colorado for my first time and kind of not knowing what the reaction from the fans was going to be, whether they're going to cheer, whether they're going to boo, or how that was going to go down. And you wanted to play really well. And so it's a whole new, I guess, interesting kind of mental approach when this kind of thing happens.
You know, Matt, you touched on something interesting there, especially as we look at tonight's matchup. Austin Gomber is actually going to be on the hill tonight, and he, of course, was the centerpiece in the deal for Nolan. Who has the advantage there when you're facing your former teammate who's a pitcher, or in Austin Gomber's case, he knows most of these Cardinals hitters very well. When it comes to like the X's and O's of pitcher versus position player, who has the advantage when one guy's facing his former team?
You know, I guess any advantage would be slight. Other than to say, you know, it all comes down to execution, right? I mean, if he executes his pitches and he's throwing that curveball where he wants to and he's executing his pitches, he's going to be tough to hit. And as a hitter, if he makes mistakes and you kind of know where his mistakes wind up, if he hangs his breaking ball or, you know, can't get his fastball in on righties, then you're going to have a good chance of hitting him. So nowadays, with all the scouting and all the information and all the video, I mean, really there's no secrets and there's no real advantage to having played with guys. Until you get in the box and face somebody, Everybody has the same intel. You know, everybody knows where he likes to miss, where he likes to pitch. And when he's pitching good, here's what he does. And when he's struggling, these are the mistakes he makes. And so really, I don't think that there's much advantage to having played with a guy, other than maybe knowing, hey, he doesn't like facing lefties, or hey, he doesn't like to pitch into righties. He's afraid he's going to hit them. I mean, outside of, again, I'm not saying Austin Gomber has either one of those problems, but outside of having a little bit of insight into their mental, or maybe you're friends with them and you've talked to them about, you know, kind of their approach mentally. Everybody knows what everybody has and what those pitches, until you get in the box, you really don't have much of an advantage of knowing what the guy's pitches look like.
Matt, we were talking about these two teams. We were talking about the Cardinals and the Rockies, and I just said they feel like ships passing each other in the night, going to definitely different destinations. And I know that you keep a very close eye on what's going on with the Cardinals, but I know you do the same thing, and you have love for the Rockies also. What do you see? Like, what do you see organizationally right now, the direction that they're going, what they're trying to do? I know they let go of Jeff Breidich. Bill Schmidt is stepping in as their GM right now. What do you think about the direction of the Rockies right now?
Well, to me, it feels like, you know, that they're going to have to make a decision on Trevor Story. I mean, he's the next, you know, if you trade him, you got to make sure that the return is big and you get – These are the trades that you can't screw up. You know, you can't if you're going to trade your icons, your tremendous all-star players in the prime of their career. If you're going to trade these guys, these are kind of organization altering type moves that you've got to make sure that the players you get back are guys that are going to be impact players. If you're going to have success in the next 3 to 4 years, these kind of decisions and these kind of trades are going to be huge, and you hope that you get the prospects that have high ceilings that in a couple of years can turn into the next Nolan Arenado or the next Trevor Story or, you know, the next pitching staff ace. That's just where you have to score, and this in the draft is how you're going to have to rebuild your organization, rebuild your team into a contender that's sustainable. And so I think that this is a crucial point in the Rockies, kind of what's next and figuring out, If Story is not an option to re-sign, then you got to make sure you get the right trade and you get the right prospects, and then you kind of build from there, right? I mean, you got to hope that you're drafting well and that you have prospects on the way that are getting close to the major leagues. But yeah, to me, it looks like you're talking about, you know, an organization, the Cardinals, that's looking to add and try to win right now and in the future. And then, you know, you're talking about the Rockies right now. It looks to me like, you know, you're looking about two to three years in the future of really having a chance to get back into the middle of the NL West race.
Matt, thinking about Trevor Story and you breaking that down, and the organization does need to make a decision. He's heard his name plenty in trade rumors. He heard it this offseason. He hears it now. And as we get closer and closer to the trade deadline, he's going to hear it a ton. I wonder for you, and I'm not sure if I've talked to you about this or not, the couple of times that you got traded, the first time specifically when you got traded to the A's, were there a bunch of rumors swirling around that? Did you have a feel that it was going to happen? And what did that do to you in the meantime?
Yeah, I mean, when they offered me a contract in the, I think it was the spring of 2008 with the Rockies, and, you know, we couldn't come to a deal, and, you know, it was really a four-year offer with a fifth-year player option at about two-thirds of the price that the previous 4 years, and just really couldn't, you know, gain much ground on that. And heading into the offseason after 2008, you know, I knew that there was a great chance that I was going to be traded. I was headed into my free agent year, and knew that when I got traded, it was an offseason, and I knew that there was a couple teams. I obviously knew a lot of people in the organization, and people, you know, inside the organization are saying, hey, yeah, I mean, there's a trade that's going to happen. It's either going to be the A's or the Cardinals. And, you know, I think Dan O'Dowd was taking video home of the prospects that both organizations were talking about and offering. And so I knew at that point that it was imminent and that it was going to happen. And I guess until it really happens, though, you really don't know what it feels like to know that, you know, hey, my time with the Rockies is over, and you've been traded to the A's. And so thankfully it was in the off season for me, which, you know, it allows you, you know, a little bit different kind of time to kind of move and kind of get things resettled. But when I got traded to the Cardinals, that did happen at the trade deadline. And And I knew that this was going to happen. And as we got closer to the deadline, it seemed more and more likely that a trade was going to happen. And so there's kind of an excitement to it. There's kind of a what's going to happen, you know, hope it goes here. And you're kind of getting information from a bunch of different people. So it's one of those things that weighs on your mind. You can't help but be human and think about it. But at the same time, you have to go out on the field and produce, and you have to perform, and you have to concentrate, and you have to do all the things that you know, as a professional, that you're paid to do. And so it is definitely sometimes mentally it can be a little heavy, but at the same time, it can be exciting. You know, you get an opportunity to, most likely, if you get traded in during the season, it's to a team that's in the middle of the playoff race, and you go from maybe a team that's in last place or not doing well to a team that's in first place and trying to get to the playoffs, and that can be really fun.
Matt Holliday is joining us right now in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Matt, I would have to imagine that, like you said, I mean, it's kind of nerve-wracking, it's kind of exciting. You had a sense of who was going to be interested in you. And let's just do the Cardinals trade, because as you mentioned, the A's trade was the offseason. But you eventually get dealt to the Cardinals. Did you have a sense that the Cardinals could be a team that could acquire you? And were they kind of on your short list of, yeah, I'm excited to potentially go to St. Louis?
Yeah, really, you know, like I said, when I got traded to the A's, I honestly, you know, I had a couple people on the inside telling me that was down to two. You know, the Cardinals were right in the mix, and I thought, you know, obviously was hoping and thought that it was going to be the Cardinals, and couldn't really figure out the A's angle at that point, because they were young and not really quite ready to contend. And, you know, I thought for sure, you know, it would probably be the Cardinals, and I was going to be a free agent. You know, the A's typically, you know, don't sign big free agents, so I had convinced myself that it was going to be the Cardinals at that time, and then, you know, it turned out to be the A's, and then getting traded to the Cardinals, I had, again, you know, baseball is such a small fraternity, and you know a lot of people, and I had friends on the Cardinals, and so I'd known that it was getting close, and that the Cardinals were pushing hard to get it done, so I was hoping that it would be the Cardinals, and that was obviously, like I said, a team that's in the playoffs, a great, great history, a lot of great players, and so that was very much on my short list of where I wanted to end up. And like I said, I knew about a week in advance that there was movement, and there was some traction to make a trade happen. And so I was thrilled, I was excited, and when it happened, you know, I couldn't wait to get to Philadelphia and put that uniform on.
Matt Holliday, one of the best players that the Cardinals have ever had, right? Franchise player. Matt, I want to ask you about another, arguably the best player outside of Stan Musial that the Cardinals have ever had, Albert Pujols, your old teammate. Albert was designated for assignment yesterday by the Angels. It just seems staggering to see, you know, hear his name with that. I know that there's always an end for everybody. But when you heard the news come down yesterday, what was your initial thought about that?
My initial thought was this had to have been something that Albert kind of wanted, knowing that the, you know, like I said, the at-bats with Otani and Walsh, that it was going to be difficult for him to get a lot of at-bats. I felt like this, again, I don't know. I don't have any inside information on it. I kind of wish I did, but I felt like if he was going to get DFA'd or released and moved on, that he would have kind of been behind it. And so I'm interested to hear the full story. That was my initial thought, was this is probably something Albert wanted to happen so he could go somewhere and play maybe and have a better opportunity to get every day at bats. So that was my initial reaction. And, you know, come to find out, I guess, you know, he had, you know, maybe a little bit of a harsh conversation with Joe Maddon and the front office about why he wasn't playing, at least against lefties. So I don't know what happened initially. I was very much surprised, especially in the last year of that deal, and knowing, you know, the personal service contract makes that a little bit confusing to me and how that's going to all work. But yeah, very much surprised. Like you said, Brad, it all comes to an end for everyone. But typically, when you've had that kind of career and you've been in that spot for close to 10 years, it doesn't typically end like that. And I don't think anybody ever wants to get designated and released. No matter what the situation is. And so I was surprised.
And I think you hit the nail on the head, too. He still wants to play. He wants to get every day at-bats. And I think that most Cardinal fans can look at that and say, all right, well, that probably means the answer is not here. No DH. You got Goldie over at first base. That's not likely to happen. So with that being said, though, what do you think it would be like if number five did come back? What do you think that ovation would be like the first time for the St. Louis Cardinals, Matt?
Well, I mean, I think the one thing you have to think about is he can go out and exhaust those options and see if there are everyday at-bats available and if there isn't, you know, a situation where he can get more at-bats. But if there's not, then I don't know why you wouldn't consider, you know, if the Cardinals have interest in having a right-handed power bat off the bench, especially with the extra man on the roster at 26. I don't know if you have Matt Carpenter and Albert Pujols kind of lurking for a late inning at bat in a big spot. I mean, I think you feel pretty good about that. But I would say it would be incredible. I would say the response and to see Albert put that uniform back on and taking it bad at Busch Stadium in a big spot and put that number five back on would be pretty awesome. I'd be tempted to try to find my way up to Busch Stadium to see that.
Hey, Matt, it's always a pleasure to chat with you. Thank you so much for your time. Have a great weekend. We'll chat with you again next week.
Sounds good. Seems a little strange not talking about fighting or something with Jamie. So,
I missed
the conversation about maybe incorporating fights. But, yeah, we'll talk to you guys next week.
And he was ready to go, Matt, because with the Tom Wilson fight the other night, man, Jamie, it's all Jamie's been talking about the last couple of days. So we'll have to revisit some of that next week with Jamie.
All right, sounds good.
All right, man, thank you.
All right, see you guys.
See ya. That's Matt Holliday here in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN.
We missed the boat on that one.
We did.
He wanted to talk about fighting. We went traditional baseball.
Damn it.
Next week. It's all fighting. I wanted to ask him about cruises he's been on, too.
Right.
You know, since you and I have never been on one, maybe Matt could tell us what it was like.
I'm sure Matt's been on a cruise.
Maybe,
too.
Or maybe he's scared of boats. Like, I don't know. He's like a big human being, but everybody has things that they're fearful of. He might not be able to swim.
Should we ask Matt to go on the cruise with us?
Yeah, because he'll sponsor it.
There you go. Sponsored by Matt Holliday.